Mr. Dichter calls Nakba 2023.
It is the same Nakba. It is a continuous process, and that is a problem here, that people think about the subject when the cycle of violence started. But then the cycle of violence finished, and other cycle of violence started, kind of hidden, and the rest of the people go back to sleep about the subject and come back again and erupt, because this is the process. It's just to expel and take out these native population to secure the Israeli state. And the problem here that we could just, as you said, we put what we said 11 years ago, and it will be exact same thing. So that is what really kind of lately, it's kind of absurd to talk about the subject unless we really understand it really properly. We have people kind of putting in our newspaper, for example, local newspaper, about talking about this issue as a foreign conflict and has nothing to deal with what we have here. And that was about the latest kind of rallies happening in town, talking about Palestine. The problem, the people who promote that kind of narrative, they are the same one who support the Israeli apartheid state. And they have no clue, or not they don't have, I'm sure they have a clue about the history. But they try to erase the actual history about how Canada involved, not to its neck, it is to the top of its head. Canada owe the Palestinian people not apology. It owe a lot of things to Palestinian people. Our the people of Palestine. It's not about the similarity between what we have here in our colonial history back in on this land. It's not about what the Canadian government is doing to support and whitewash what the Israeli apartheid doing to our people and legitimizing it as a normal state like any other state. It's not about how the people on the street, when they want to do something, how they are spontaneous and they have no clue. It is about the whole partition plan of our homeland. It's called Canada Plan. If it was submitted by the Canadian Supreme Court, the so-called Canadian state puts its nose in our land, and it decided that 55% of our land should be allocated for the so-called Jewish state. And that happened after a long history of wiping out indigenous people on this land. So if this is a foreign conflict, I don't know what to say. And really, I mean, we all live on unceded land. That this has the same similarity of history. It's not my talk or Mr. Trudeau talk. It is about what the Zionists themselves talk about themselves. Zionism is a European colonial settler movement. It adopted European method. Like they use religion, like what they did in any other places. They use this religion to accomplish a goal. Like when the British, for example, I'm trying to say that, the British colonialists, when they came here, they called themselves the children of Israel. They called the native of this land Canaanite. They called this land a promised land. They compare their trips to Moses. But this has been repeated over. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with Islam. It has nothing to do with Christianity or Judaism. It's a process of stealing people land, but not really. And here our problem always having that we focus too much on the issue of Zionism and Palestine, and we forget who's setting the whole region in that. In this situation, I can only use one statement by one big imperialist and big war criminal called Joe Biden, who in the 1986 said that Israel is the best $3 billion investment America makes. Where an Israel, the USA would have to invent an Israel to protect their interests in the region. That is a subject. They always usually say it is the economy, stupid. In this situation here, we can add, it is the occupation, stupid. And people try to erase all that, and try to tell you about Hamas. That if we know the history, Hamas was originally let be established its hold, it has the ability to be function because the Israeli occupation state allowed that while choking the secular PLO. The issue has nothing to deal with Hamas or anything. The issue is so simple. And I don't know. I'm more frustrated. It's from our reaction to our government, because this government cannot do anything if we let it go doing all what it did in the past without being accountable. So it's the whole, we are all complicit with this thing. And unless, we always try to put, as they say, the cart before the horse. We don't have any solid group that understand the issue of Palestine, that connect it with the indigenous issue here, that make that issue a local, because we need to focus on local issue here. This is our job. For me, as a Palestinian, I believe in spite of all the misery we have there, I have a duty here to act like a citizen here and be a political person, really. That how I act as Palestinian. My Palestine story, it is in my head. It's going along with being living here. And I wish of all of us, we are living in a society that we have many immigrants. I wish if we all bring our experience, political experience we have back to here, because to be honest with you, we don't have anything here. I'm sorry, maybe it is a lot of things to talk about, but the last thing, I will give you a small example. They will tell you that a rich green or conservative or NDP or liberal could be on the same side with a poor NDP, conservative, liberal or green. It's no, they should be on the opposite side. They give us the illusion that we have a political parties, we have a grass movement, but we don't have. We have NGOs and we have fake parties, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, and the Canadian Parliament has been, to its eternal shame, absolutely absent for most of the current iteration of the Israeli project that is an out-and-out genocide, according to the International Court of Justice. When you mentioned Biden saying that if Israel didn't exist, we would have to invent it, the Americans would. They do. The Americans do invent and reinvent Israel. Every time something happens, they spin a new version or a new old version of what Israel is supposed to be and how people are supposed to regard the entity. But it has nothing or very little to do with reality. When you talk about Canada, the last time we spoke, Maz, and Stephen Harper was, if this gives you a sense of history.
That is irony, really.
Stephen Harper was the prime minister. I'm looking at Stephen Harper's Twitter page right now in front of me yesterday, and I expect he's still there today, although I don't know. Yesterday, Stephen Harper met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem. He's got a picture of him in his, presumably in Netanyahu's office, shaking hands and smiling and sitting at a table where in front of Netanyahu is a small table stand flag of Israel, predictably enough. And in front of Stephen Harper, a Canadian flag, the maple leaf proudly swaying. Stephen Harper, he doesn't mention if he's representing the Canadian government these days in any way. I don't believe he is. I think he's just like a business guy, but he still reminds everyone that he was our 22nd prime minister. And in his comment above this photograph, he says, and I'll quote the former prime minister, he says, I witnessed these few days an Israel scarred by the unprovoked horrors of October 7th, but also united in its determination to end the threat of Hamas once and for all. This is the only path towards durable peace. Israel has overcome all previous trials and emerged with even greater strength. It'll do so again. What do you make of that statement?
Actually, the first thing come to my mind, it is an Arabic saying we say two butts in one underwear. That is Netanyahu and Mr. Harbour. Mr. Harbour should go and visit Canada Park also. Teresa Park was financed by contribution from Canadian people to cover three villages, Palestinian villages, next to, it's very close to West Bank. And if you walk in the park, you could see, actually CBC did a show about that when used to be doing some good stuff a long time ago. And it's called the program at that time, Canada Park. And you would see the some remaining of the old Palestinian houses being tried to be covered by fake new trees, European type trees. So maybe Mr. Harbour need to go and sit down there and walk in our stolen land, as he has freely walk here on this stolen land. I don't expect better from Harbour. He is a Zionist like Netanyahu. So
definitely, he advertised his Christian faith. He's
yes,
waiting. He's waiting for the return of the Messiah.
Exactly, and that is the bigger irony here. When Mr. Harbour is worse than Hamas, at least Hamas are people belong to that land. They believe in their religion, and they think they have a right to defend there because whether religion or whatever. That these the native people here. Nobody can blame them after being hammered by occupation. And after occupation, it does not really steal your land, take your control, your life, all, and your mind also control your resistance. Like by opening certain tunnels for certain, they know everything. I doubt that the Israeli did not, I don't usually word Israeli, I always put between quotation or the Zionist mostly, because, I mean, this is most of the Israeli occupation state population are in the military, and most of them believe in the idea of Jewish state. I mean, even when you talk about the leftists among them, they want maybe just a small, tiny Jewish state, but free from Arab, which is so sickening. And I don't know how the world accept this, which is based on biblical story. And this is the point, the irony here, that Mr. Harbour, all his motivation based or all his logic based on a biblical mythology and religion, and he's going and throwing a stone on Hamas. Both we are talking about Christianity and Islam here, both monotheistic religion.
I've lost you, Mazin. Sorry, Mazin, you dropped out there. Could you repeat what you just said?
I said, Islam and Christianity and Judaism, these are all established religion, and we supposed to respect all religion and not involve them in politics. So if some indigenous people for somehow let their religion guide them, they are reacting here. Let them a chance to live their normal life like we have here, and they will have a prosperous society where they could separate religion from state. But you cannot really go and ask people and condemn them about their belief, which give them hope in the end. If they lose their religion and their land is stolen, and what left for these people as an identity? So this is all together, and we are talking here about two separate society in the end, Chris. I mean, we're living here in a society based on individualism, based. Back there, it's a community. I mean, we have obligation toward each other. We respect each other. Here, they think in an individual manner that it's okay for them to think about us to be divided. I don't know. It is really a lot of thing involved in the subject. It could be complicated. But we should just keep it simple about land theft and people try to defend their land. And again, the irony here, when we have the West protecting a state that called itself a Jewish state while condemning the so-called Muslim radical, who in reality the West established in the middle 80s when they used to call them Mujahideen during their fight against communism. So they create this type of enemy and later point out the finger at them until you look at them, how they are savages, how they are screaming in a weird kind of kill America, kill whatever. Just, I mean, but these are the product of the U.S., to be honest, in the end.
Yeah, and we see it going on yet in Syria and all across the so-called arc
That's
of
why.
instability.
Yes, sorry. In the last time you asked me, sorry to interrupt, last time you asked me kind of a question, took me off the line and asked me about relationship about the Arabic things, Arab and Palestine. Syria and Palestine are so related. All the region are so related. We cannot separate Palestine from the surrounding environment. Historically, since at least 500 BC, since first ever book recorded about the history, Palestine written about it as part of a bigger land called Syria. So it is separating that, that's mean we are following the logic of the colonialists that suppress Palestine, separate issue from the surrounding and neighborhood. And that's why when we talk about it, it's an Arab issue. This is the, even if they throw them, these refugee and did what they call about the second Nakba or whatever these Zionists talk about. Do you think when they are in Egypt, the issue is finished? Do you think when they go and destroy Lebanon and maybe wiped out anything they want to think is finished? No, they are living in a sea of Arab people. And when our problem as Arab, we have state, corrupt state that installed by the West to secure, actually, this Israeli state. Just look how what is the American give to the Egyptian regime or the Jordanian regime. 2.1 million to the Egyptian and 2.9 million to the Jordanian, plus the 10 billion they give to the Israeli. All that to keep that state is there. And that is cheaper than the for the American to send their troops and boots on the ground. This is the whole story. It is in, it is the old roads lead to White House. This is where things started. And whenever we can do here, we are going not going to change things. Unless we have access to that, to Mr. Biden, we can give him a good spanking and change the policy. I mean, this is, I don't know what to say here. Here we need to do locally our jobs here. But keep in mind the globe, the whole story together, not separate Palestine from environment. Know the story really. What is this, the nature of Zionist regime? What its job there? And why it's sustaining? It is all because the support of the West. As we mentioned in the previous review, interview, just to close the tab. This state on its own gone. Let's do our job here. And believe me, Palestine would be free because it's all connected. But many people here want to go and lecture us there what to do while forgetting to do their job here.
Yeah. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking to Mazen Al-Nahawi. Mazen is a Palestinian refugee from Safad, occupied Palestine. He's a graduate of the Higher Institute of Dramatic Arts Criticism Department, Damascus, Syria, where he studied Arab linguistics as well. He now lives here in Victoria, has been for many years, land that is the traditional territory, stolen land of the Lekungan, Esquimalt, and Wasanich peoples. Yeah, Mazen, you mentioned our previous interview and the closing of the taps. In that interview, and this was so long ago, but it's just yesterday, Al-Nakba and Canada, you mentioned closing the taps in the context of, instead of Canadians getting involved and trying to figure out ways to put band-aids on the problem, I'm using my own language here, in Gaza, that they should just close the taps here at home and stop supplying and supporting that regime. Within that article of yours, though, there is a quote that I'm quite interested in, especially regarding what's going on right now in Egypt. And this quote, because in the wake of the World Court, the ICJ, ruling about the genocide and the suspected aims of Israel in this whole Nakba 2, as their own ministers call it, Nakba 2023. Here's the quote. "We shall try to spirit the penniless population across the border by procuring employment for it in transit countries, while denying it any employment in our own country, expropriation and the removal of the poor must be carried out directly and circumspectly. Do you remember that quote from your...
Of course, from Herzl. This is from the late 19th century, 1897. That is the story. This is where it started. And Herzl, even he was a moron and a racist, like typical the colonialist in Europe, who has no problem with what we call anti-Semitism, and that because of anti-Semitism, they have to go and find somewhere else. I mean, Herzl, he was a very visionary. I mean, he said that if you don't believe me now, just wait 50 years. Because it's a process, and he know how to deal. He dealt first with the Ottoman. They refused to let him to buy Palestine. He had a lot of dealing with it. And then he started dealing with Chamberlain, and they almost made a deal in Uganda to secure a state for 1 million people. And he wrote that in his diary. But later, the irony here later, the colonial settlers, European colonial settlers in that area in Uganda, lobbied the British colonial government and told them, no, we don't want a Jewish state. So then they decided, okay, let's go to Palestine. Zionists did not want to go to Palestine in the beginning. They did not want to have their relationship with the old biblical, because most of them were secular. They thought even in Alaska, because kind of they wanted just to get out of Europe because of the long sickness Europe has toward its own Jewish population. But the problem with Zionists that they, while the Nazi, they were doing their horrific crime and genocidal action in Europe, Zionists on the ground in Palestine, they were calculating the male's number in every single Palestinian family, and making a plan called the Dalit plan. This is even before the Nazi get in power in Germany. When people say Zionism and Nazism is similar, I would say it's even worse, because Nazi did that where they belong. They did it against their own German Jew, their own Roma, their own many minorities. But the Zionists accepted that logic and accepted the fact that, yes, Germans have the right to have a pure German state. And we, as Jews, as a nation, which is completely oxymoron because it's a religion, they need to have this Jewish people, as they call it, because as a nation here, they need to have their own state. And they went somewhere far, and they applied the same method the Nazi did in Germany. Now, by the way, I'm only a folder here. I trained to read, gather resource, and present an argument supported by facts and by at least by people with authority on subjects. So I don't say. So what I'm telling you, it's not really my turn. I'm just preserving a lot of the narrative used to be a long time ago about what is the issue of Palestine. For example, if you read many of the revolutionary party around the world, or any even respectful party, whether in the so-called third world countries, they used to have a solid position about how Zionism is an imperial project, and the whole liberation of Palestine, all Palestine, as for one democratic state, even until the mid-70s, a lot of progressive people were agreeing about that. But little by little, the American managed to bring more alternative, more breaking that unity. And now we have the two-state solution, and some people even suggest no state solution, like for the stateless people of Palestine.
Well, Mazin, sorry to step in. Our connection is running out. We only have 1 minute left. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and thank John Helmer too for being in the first half. In the last minute that we have, and something less than that now, 40 seconds, what would you like to leave us with?
One thing you mentioned, Jerusalem, West Bank, and Gaza. It is all Palestine. Even the 1948 land occupied, what we call now so-called proper Israel, all that is a stolen land. We never, Palestinian, wanted to have any Jewish land in our, among our Jewish people. I mean, Arab Jews were living among us like another community, no, without any problem. The issue of discrimination against Jews is a European issue, but it ended up that instead of Europe solve it there, they came and add another crime by stealing our land and stealing this state in our land. So I want to just to be sure about the unity of this land from the river.
Oop, and there goes Mazen. Sorry about that, Mazen. That was our connection timing out. Thanks to Mazen Al-Nahawi and also to John Helmer for coming on the show. I think what Mazen was going to say is from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. It's a chant that we're all getting well used to after 4+ months of daily bombings by Israel of civilian populations. The horror is incalculable and continues yet despite all those efforts. And I see Mazen in Victoria down at the legislature every Sunday and sometimes Saturday at 1 p.m. Come join that demonstration of outrage at both our government complicity in what Israel is doing and the fact that this has gone on for so many months and years. That's all I've got for this week. Until the next time. Moscow, Tokyo, New York. Guerrilla Radio is everywhere. Online at guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.
Signs in other places, they're on the battle lines. One side builds the ghetto walls, the other just wants to see them fall. One side is a sovereign nation, the other side is under occupation. One side cuts off the food supply, the other side starves and dies, saying, "You can back the fascists or stand with the resistance. Lines are drawn. Which side are you on?" One side has the fighter planes, the other has the backed up sewage drains. One side says they represent the West, the other side proclaims this is a test for the nations of the world to react and demonstrate. They understand the impact, what will happen if they don't, whether it's because they can't or because they won't. You can back the fascists or stand with the resistance. Lines are drawn. Now, which side are you on? One side says it's a surgical strike, but that's not what it looks like to anyone else who's seeing this. It looks just like the apocalypse. It looks like a whole population being targeted for total devastation. Times like these, you pick a side. You can't be neutral in a genocide. You can back the fascists or stand with the resistance. Lines are drawn. Now, which side are you on? Lines are drawn. Now, which side are you on?
Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning independent journalist Amy Goodman. Tune in to your daily progressive news, aired Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CJSF.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby.